We're looking today at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Hear the word of our God as I read the text for us this morning. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, here it is, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Probably a decent chunk of us have it memorized. And really, we know what it means. What is there to really say? Perhaps today is the day of the short sermon. Don't get your hopes up. Because there's a reason that these two verses and number 10 with it have been memorized and pored over so much in the life of the Christian church. It's because on these two verses converge a premium of Paul's watertight logic and use of language. Paul is known for his verbose way of speaking. Trying to diagram one of Paul's sentences is like trying to wallpaper with one arm. You just can't do it. It is nearly impossible because he tends to talk on and on and on, and he gets really excited. And so he starts to heap phrase and phrase and phrase upon phrase. But here in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2, he aims with a laser-like focus on the grace of God in salvation. It is here that his watertight logic ties together the complex that is our redemption, our salvation, labeling it a gift. Salvation is all of God, and even the receiving of it, what might even be perceived as an action on our part, is still a gift. All of it. A gift, all of it of grace, all of it a kindness shown to God's people. All of it, as one pastor says, a divine compassion. A divine compassion. The end of verse 7 segues us into verses 8 and 9. Answering that why question, why this gift, why this grace, why this salvation for God's people? So that in the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. If we were speaking of one another, we'd say, well, now you're just showing off. Now you're just kind of rubbing it in. But God does it to show the riches of his grace in kindness. Our God is a gracious, kind God, and he shows us these things He moves these things toward us in Christ Jesus. We see here salvation by grace. For by grace you have been saved. And I would present to you that the rest of these verses of 8 and 9 hang back on that word grace. And we end up with each little step in these verses asking, how does this show the grace of God? How does this show forth His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus? Well, starting here with, for by grace you have been saved. You have been saved. That's a passive, past participle. What does that mean other than I once heard that in English class back in the day? Well, you know that passive voice is not the ideal voice in writing. You want action. You want movement. And if you're wondering what passive voice is the voice that you write in when you're trying to draw out the length of your paper, because you can add a whole lot more words writing in passive voice than you can in active voice. I went to the store is not nearly as long as the store was visited upon by me. But here, the passive voice is absolutely necessary. Why? Because this is an action done to you. And the rest of the text sits in light of this. That salvation is by grace. We have been saved. We are passive in this action. And the rest of it is couched in those terms and in that idea and in that reality. Let's think for a moment about this salvation. This is the fullness of salvation. Salvation past, salvation present, salvation future, redemption and its benefits yesterday, today, and tomorrow or forever. Where we are blessed by Christ's mediation in our behalf. We are justified, meaning we are received as holy. We are seen as not guilty. Indeed, we are beyond seen as not guilty. We are seen as righteous. Where we are adopted and we inherit all the rights and blessings as sons of God. We are sanctified. We are made more and more holy. We die more and more to sin. We receive the first fruits of glory with Christ as we live as members with Him as our head. And we anticipate that glory in which He now resides, that glory someday that we will bask in. And delight and joy. We in this life, because of this salvation by grace, enjoy a sense of God's love, the peace of our conscience, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the hope of glory. And let me pause and just say that those who do not live in this reality can't even fathom what it is like to live in such a way. Just that little list right there, God's love, peace of conscience, joy of the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory. It means nothing to those who have not experienced it. And yet ultimately they cannot identify that that is the longing of their soul. when we live in this salvation and we die in this salvation, our souls are made perfect in holiness. Our souls are received into the highest heavens. We will behold the face of God in light and glory. And we will wait there for the full redemption of our bodies. Our bodies that continue united to Christ, resting in their grave as on their bed, till one day we will be united together. This is the salvation that we experience by grace. There is a fullness to it. There's a massiveness to it that goes way beyond, did I make a decision at some point? That is so truncated. That is so weak. It's so flimsy in light of the salvation by grace that God gives His people. It is this, as some call it, unmerited favor, this grace, this divine compassion, this condescension in covenantal relationship that shows forth to us that our God truly is the most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. He is that God that has saved us by grace. This has been enacted upon us. We are passive. He is active. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. And here comes a rub with our contemporaries in the understanding of what faith is. Because isn't faith something that I do? Doesn't faith come from me? As God extends grace, don't I extend faith and they meet in the middle beneath the old Georgia pine? No. God doesn't start walking our way and we don't start walking His way. He comes and finds us. And He pulls us out of the pit. We are in no way able to even walk His way. Justifying faith, the larger catechism tells us, is a saving grace. If it's of grace, know that it's not of you. It's a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and Word of God, whereby he, being convinced of his sin and misery and of the disability in himself and all other creatures to recover him out of his lost condition, not only assents to the truth of the promise of the gospel, but receives and rests upon Christ and his righteousness therein held forth for pardon of sin and for the accepting and accounting of his person righteous in the sight of God for salvation. So see there, there is some dynamic of action in the word faith because we receive, we rest. But brothers and sisters know that that happens when we have been brought out of a condition where we are completely incapable of any particular action. Faith is a saving grace. We put so much emphasis on this action that really is just a response to the fullness of God's working in salvation. Men, some of you are married. Men, some of you are thinking about getting married. And you remember that day when you realized this is the one. And so you went to some place where they sell shiny things and you decided which shiny thing you wanted to put on that even more beautiful object of your affection. And maybe you went by week when you'd get paid and put money down, or maybe you saved up and went with one big chunk of money. You went and you bought that shiny thing. And you gave it to that special someone. And she went around and showed everybody that shiny new thing. And say, wow. Where did he get, how big is, and she'd say, no, but I received it. I received it. Oh yeah, but didn't he pay for it? Yeah, but I received it. I said yes. Well, how did he ask? That doesn't matter how he asked. I said yes. I received it. See how lopsided that is? In our engagement to Christ, we say, I received it. I did it. Now, he paid for it. He brought it to me because I was a dead, ugly bride. We get so lopsided. How are we able to speak? We speak because faith has been worked in us. We have the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. So we also believe and therefore speak, 2 Corinthians 4:13. You can dip back right into Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19. Where we see that God has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance among the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Brothers and sisters, we can't figure any of that out so that then God is required to give it to us. He gives it to us so that we can figure it out. He makes our dead hearts to beat again. He opens our dead and blind eyes. Apart from Him, we are looking in the completely wrong direction. Even many times as the Spirit begins to work, we are groping around in the dark. God must give it to us. He must enlighten our eyes. He must give us understanding. He must give us faith. Romans 10, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? This is verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And a few verses later in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When God established salvation for His people, He established for it faith as a requirement. And then through the preaching of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit, He gives us faith. This is beautiful. This is the best deal. This is an offer that ideally you cannot refuse. Because God says, I will take your sin and I will give you eternal life. Okay, how do I participate? All I require of you is faith. I don't have any faith. Have faith. I give faith to you. Well, how are you going to give faith to me? I'm going to put you in a position to hear the Word of God, to hear the name of Jesus, to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. and by the Spirit's working and the working of the Word, we are saved. See, faith, by faith we are justified, by faith we are saved. Through faith we are saved by grace, not because faith is some kind of work, and we'll see this all the more in a few moments. But many see faith as, well, I had faith, and so then that's my righteousness, is my faith. God receives that sacrifice of belief for me. No? The only reason faith saves you is because God has chosen to receive faith and to apply the righteousness of Christ to you through it. That's why it only works because God established the rules. We don't exercise some kind of self-motivated faith and then God is required to reward us and to save us. No, faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. And that's the next thing we see, is the sheer gift that is ours. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 31. Beautiful words by Paul that point us to that reality that the engaged woman has when she shows off that ring, saying, yeah, isn't he the best? For observe your calling, brothers. Among you, not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty men, and not many noble men were called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God has chosen the base things of the world and things which are despised. Yes, and he chose things which did not exist to bring to nothing things that do, so that no flesh should boast in his presence. But because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, whom God made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, salvation is a gift. The whole complex is a gift to us. The grace, the faith, the salvation, all of it is. Even in the most extreme realities of salvation, think what it was like for the apostles as they would heal, as they would know the Spirit speaking through them in great and powerful ways. Paul says in Romans 1, through him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all nations for his name. Even these great and miraculous signs of the apostolic age, they understood this is a gift. We have received it from him. It is a gift. It is not of works. See, this is where the human heart wants to go. We want to get the teaching of our catechisms backwards. We want the cart before the horse. The catechism lays out before us, as it summarizes Scripture, first, what the Scriptures principally teach us to believe concerning God. And wrapped up in all of that is this entire complex of redemption and salvation and all that God has done to save his people. Then we see what, in light of this, it follows, to use the catechism's word, to consider what the scriptures require as the duty of man. And we want to go into it backwards, and we want to fulfill some required duty so that we can therefore be saved. And brothers and sisters, let me lovingly and gently say, that's right, Joel, they do look at it that way, but we're reformed. And we get it, and we understand it. Therefore, we know that salvation is by grace alone. And you know what? I hold to that more tightly than anybody else. I am more reformed than you can even handle. I'm definitely more reformed than that family down the pew. And we all know who we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, don't think that works righteousness isn't a plague upon the Reformed community. We start to judge our salvation by just how reformed we are. And we start to look down upon brothers and sisters in Christ because they don't hold to the view that I just started holding to 5 minutes ago. And what's wrong with them that they don't get it yet? Beware, brothers and sisters. Beware. Do not let the joy of your salvation or your salvation itself be stolen away out of judgment against brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to love the saints. We are called to build one another up in the faith. We are called to encourage one another in the teaching of Scripture. And brothers and sisters, don't let the enemy sneak. You can nail the back door and you can screw it tight and you can have a blockade there and he'll sneak in through the basement. And he'll whisper in your ear, you know that you can save yourself. And you know that you can use Calvinism to do it. You know that you can use exclusive a cappella psalmody to do it. You can do it. You can save yourself. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul would stand up with the 1650 Psalter in hand and say, you cannot save yourself by these things. That is the complete opposite of the gospel. You've just taken it and you've put it on a different foot. And it's still an ugly shoe and a shoe that won't get you anywhere. Brothers and sisters, it is a gift. It is not of works. So therefore, as we come to Romans 12, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, that is a result, not an effect. That is the fruit of the gospel at work in you. There are 11 chapters to the book of Romans before you get to those verses. You don't do that so that you might be saved. You do it because you are saved. Even in the old covenant era of the covenant of grace, when sacrifice was so predominant, pointing us forward to Christ, Scripture echoes, this is 1 Samuel 15, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice, a listening ear than the fat of rams. Brothers and sisters, Please reform your lives according to Scripture. Please walk in all the ways that you believe the Lord is calling you to walk. But do so knowing that you do so because of His working in your life. That the only reason you believe, and the only reason you believe what you believe, is because of the Holy Spirit's work in you. It does us no good to worship how we do and to study how we do and to work the way we do if we do so with self-righteous indignation and judgment in our hearts against our brothers and sisters. Ungrateful for the gift that He has given us. And along with that, being drawn to works, we are drawn to boast. Look you what I can do. Look you what I can do. That chant of a 3- and 4-year-old can still reside in the human heart as regards salvation. 1 Corinthians 1, we read it a moment ago, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. It's not that there isn't boasting to be done as regards salvation. There is great boasting to be accomplished, but it's boasting in the Lord. And each of us can sit where we are and say, yes, because if God can save a sinner like me, He truly is a great and gracious and giving God. Stand with me as we pray.